Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A grisly scene in Libya today as the body of former dictator Muammar Gaddafi was televised, bloodied and beaten. And while for many it was a just ending for the life of a tyrant, it certainly didn't reflect an ideal transition of power. To talk about life under the Gaddafi regime and what's likely ahead for Libya after months of bloody fighting, I'm joined by Khaled Matawa. He's an associate professor of English language and literature at the University of Michigan. Khaled was born in Libya, in Benghazi, Libya, and immigrated to the United States in his teens. Welcome to the program, Khaled.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, let me ask you, was there anything particularly concerning to you about the way Gaddafi was beaten and killed, or do you view this as a form of true justice for this former dictator?
No, I don't see this as a form of justice. If people got to beat to death anybody they hated, we wouldn't have any kind of justice at all. I don't really know what happened exactly. It seems that Gaddafi got hit with a few bullets before he was captured. He had two pistols on him when he was captured. One of them was a gold pistol, when at least I saw in one of the videos. So it seemed like he may have died of his wounds. I don't think he was beaten to death, but he was clearly almost gone down fighting. So that's the news I have.
Do you think that there's any particular significance to the Libyan people, the fact that Gaddafi is now dead? I mean, he was essentially out of power now for quite a while.
Yeah, he's been out of power for 2 months, pretty much, but there was room for agitation. There was room for if the new government were to fail, he could sort of rile things up in a way that would perhaps bring his sons into contention for power, or just make life difficult and hellish for the Libyan people. So having him die or captured and ending his political career in this decisive manner, it leaves no room for speculation. There is no Muammar Gaddafi to ally yourself with. He's not a political figure that anybody could ally themselves with. And, he used the Sudanese of Darfur, some of them. He used the Tuareg of Niger. He used all sorts of people from neighboring areas to support him. And now he's gone, and none of these people have anyone in Libya to support them or to help them, rile things up in the country. So that's over, and that's a headache that the Libyan people are very glad to have over and done with.
So Saddam Hussein had his portion of the population that strongly supported him when he was in power. Now that Gaddafi is gone, is there a part of the Libyan population that has that loyalty to the former regime and is now going to bond together to essentially have a situation that looks like a civil war?
Well, I think the main difference with Saddam Hussein is that, first of all, Gaddafi's people lost decisively by the hands of their own co-nationalists. And, the name that came up after Saddam Hussein's death and before that, the end of his regime, is someone named Zarqawi, who was not even Iraqi. I mean, there were people coming from all over the Muslim world to fight the United States. So really what made a difference was the presence of a foreign power on the ground. Mm-hmm. That's what made the fight against the United States and against the new governments in Iraq so difficult. In Libya, you don't have troops on the ground from another country. There is no occupation. So it is Libyan against Libyan, and you can't raise somebody like Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi from the dead as your national heroes. Because real national heroes have arisen, and the people in charge in Libya are not puppets of any country which you could have claimed about the people that the United States had placed in power in Iraq.
I'm talking to Khaled Matawa, an associate professor of English language and literature at the University of Michigan, who was born in Benghazi, Libya. I do want to ask you about what life was like in Libya growing up. But first, I guess I wonder, what is your sense of what is ahead for Libya? I mean, when you look at it from the outside on the television screen, it looks like there's been utter chaos there. And to imagine that it's now going to fall into some kind of an ordered political process that could even lead to democracy seems somewhat unlikely. What is your viewpoint on that?
Well, this order, yes. But so far, it hasn't been internally violent. I mean that that all the people that have been fighting against Gaddafi's forces. There hasn't been fighting a lot, at least, or any among people that have been anti-Gaddafi. We haven't had a struggle for power for people other than with Gaddafi. But as far as order is concerned, I mean, with Libya, you like what happened with Iraq and even what happened to Egypt in some extent, is that you had no police force, you had no military. And Benghazi had not had a police force for months. The regular army, whatever remained of it in Benghazi, never really showed up. And people organized, police forces and organized military forces to fight Gaddafi. These are not professional people. Mm-hmm. They don't have the military or discipline that you would associate with well-trained policemen. But they're getting there. I think it will take some time. But I think there's a deep commitment, and I've seen it on the ground in Benghazi when I was there in July and August. There's a deep commitment to have civilian leadership to take over the country at some point once this is done.
Do you expect Muslim fundamentalists to play a significant role in the future of Libya's leadership?
I don't know if they have any people... I know that the fundamentalists, and again, they're not monolithic. There are different degrees of fundamentalism. They have been very instrumental in fighting Gaddafi. Some of them are well-trained people. Some of them are former Afghan mujahideen, if you will, who were very instrumental in fighting Gaddafi. Mm-hmm. But I think Libya, the Libyan people, as far as I know and I understand them, are secure about their religion. They're secure their identity as Muslims. I think there will be resistance to having the Muslim fundamentalists rule them because there is no need. Libya doesn't have tourism or prostitution or rampant drug use or alcoholism. Or anything that a fundamentalist can build a platform on. We don't have foreign exploitation of the country. So if you're a fundamentalist and you're going to come and I'm going to rule the country by the rule of God and clean it up, mm-hmm. people will tell you, well, we're obeying the rule of God already. We're a conservative Muslim country. And we're, what evil are you going to fight that we can't fight under a civil government? And so there really isn't cause for a fundamentalist rule to come in post-Gaddafi. When Gaddafi was in power as a fundamentalist or as any political entity, your main goal was to fight dictatorship. After Gaddafi's power, it has to be what you will be offering the country. And so the fundamentalists mm-hmm. have to enter the politics on a platform that is based on, how they will be dealing with the country's enormous problems, not on a religious platform which people will not feel is viable or necessary.
Okay, now we only have a couple of minutes, but I do want to have you tell me just your sense of what it was like growing up in Libya. How would you describe life under the rule of Gaddafi, even though you were a child at the time? Tell me about what your family felt about the dictator, and why did your family leave Libya?
My family did not leave Libya. They sent me off to finish my schooling and college and so on, in the hope that in a few years Gaddafi would leave power. This was in the late 70s and into the 80s. We didn't think it would take that long. They said, we were going to stay put, and you go and make your way in the world. And it took 30 years for that to happen. The life under Libya and Gaddafi was a life that was chaotic. I remember finishing a ninth grade year, and the schools, the windows in my new school were already broken. The dust winds were blowing in. Teachers were not showing up. Everybody needed to have a tutor at home in order to really pass the exams.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to get military training when we were in ninth grade. It was chaotic. Rule was by caprice. People were already beginning to be impoverished. In fact, the country was rich. There was fear. I mean, people. I left Libya, and a year later, people in my class from 10th grade mm-hmm. went to jail for a conspiracy against Gaddafi. I mean, imagine, like 16 years old, like a dozen of them or two dozens of them, taken and thrown into prison and sentenced for life for attempting to kill Gaddafi. It wasn't a real accusation,
but
it was a dictatorship, a brutal dictatorship, glad it's over.
Indeed. Khaled, I hope to have you on again to talk some more about this. Khaled Matawa, he's an associate professor of English Language and Literature at the University of Michigan. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, absolutely. Thanks so much.
Come